Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. This is your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. I've been thinking, well, really ever since November 8th, about the best ways to resist Donald Trump. I've been thinking about it so much that a lot of times I can't sleep at night. Maybe you know how I feel. And there have been a lot of proposals for ways to resist Donald Trump. One way is to convince the people in the Electoral College not to vote for him. I say, God bless you, good luck with that. I don't think it's likely to be successful. Most of the people chosen to vote in Electoral College are party loyalists, Republican loyalists, Donald Trump loyalists. Even if you could convince one or two not to vote for him, I don't think you're going to convince 38. Again, be my guest. Go for it. Try it. Can't hurt to try. I don't think it's going to be successful, though, to be honest with you. Another idea that's been put forward is a recount in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania. Green Party candidate Jill Stein has proceeded with the recount. Frankly, I'm still mad at Jill Stein. The margin of victory of Trump over Hillary Clinton in those three states is smaller than the amount of people in those three states who voted for Jill Stein. If every Michigan, Wisconsin voter and Pennsylvania voter that had voted for Jill Stein had simply pulled the lever for Hillary Clinton, we wouldn't be in this mess. Also, her strategy is unlikely to work. Sure, do a recount. I'm not against recounts. Recounts show that our system is basically effective. And in the off chance that a machine is hacked, well, a recount would find that out. But I don't think the recount is going to succeed either. Again, not against it. I don't think it's going to succeed. One option is simply to say he's our president and we need to accept it and move on and go on with our lives. And yeah, sorry, I wasn't serious about that option. People that say that have no understanding of America or democracy or the fact that Hillary Clinton has a mandate to be president with more than 2 million votes more than Donald Trump. No, I don't plan to accept this election in any way, shape, or form. Some say that we need to recognize that he's president, don't accept it, but negotiate, compromise. Work with him. Find ways to work across the aisle. Make things work. Except that there is no aisle. The Republicans control every branch of government, legislative, executive, and soon the judiciary. They will control everything. There'll be no aisle to work across. And let's recall that Republicans hate compromise. They didn't believe in doing compromise when the Democrats had the presidency and 60 votes in the Senate and a massive majority in the House during Barack Obama. You may recall that Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Republicans in the Senate, said that he didn't really care about any Republican priority, tax cuts, anything else. His main priority was to make sure Barack Obama would be a one-term president. His entire goal was to tie up the American government and make it fail. As Rush Limbaugh said, his goal is to make Obama fail, to make America fail. If we could just destroy this country, we can get rid of this guy as president. And so they proceeded to create as much gridlock as they possibly could. Notwithstanding all of that, we know that Barack Obama took our unemployment level from Bush era close to 10% to below 4.6%, actually is the latest number. Inflation is down below 2%. Let's all remember that when Donald Trump increases unemployment and inflation. Let's remember for the moment how good the economy is. Record stock market as well, all under President Obama. So how can we resist? What's the answer, Mark? What's your creative solution? Well, one is do to them what they did to us. Use the filibuster. Obstruct. We do have 48 senators, and if enough senators filibuster as much as they can, we can obstruct progress in his goals, which are to do things like privatize Medicare, destroy Medicare. By the way, do you really think those 46% of Americans voting for Donald Trump knew that they were going to lose their health care and their parents would too? Yeah, I don't think so. But whether it's to destroy healthcare, whether it's to destroy the environment, whether it's to destroy the American worker. We can stand up to Donald Trump. We should stand up to Donald Trump. And when he tries to remove blacks from the voting rolls, when he tries to bring us back to Jim Crow, when he starts to promote hate crimes and fake news, yeah, we got to get out and march. I have nothing against protests. And we need to do protests as much as possible. I'm all for that. But protests alone, I just don't know that those are going to succeed. Again, it's a good strategy, and I support it. But I've been thinking creatively. I've been thinking what we can do on our side. And, well, I'll just... I was in West Virginia recently. I was there for Swiss Radio, meeting with a number of Trumpists. And I mean the most extreme Trumpists around. A guy who flies a Confederate flag, a woman who is head of the Tea Party locally and insists she has proof that Barack Obama was born in Kenya. Her proof consists of passing around other people's emails and Facebook and a book by Jerome Corsi that has no evidence whatsoever in it. But she was sure it was true. I talked with ex-coal miners. I talked with a guy at the gun show store, the gun store. And I talked with West Virginia Republican delegates, kind of my counterparts in a very, very red state. And I was telling them that Americans will resist this, that the majority of Americans oppose Donald Trump and his values. The majority of Americans oppose racism, oppose sexually assaulting women, oppose religious prejudice, oppose hatred of immigrants. After all, 98% of us have our ancestors from outside the United States, either coming as immigrants or on slave ships. Those aren't American values, and we're going to fight with every step we can. And of course, I meant legally. Of course, I meant without violence. But I, perhaps not surprisingly, the Trumpist immediately went to the violent option and said, in effect, dude, you can't beat us. We have all the guns. If you try to fight us, we'll shoot you, basically. He was basically saying, bring on the Civil War. We will win. Pretty scary thought. But then I thought to myself, kind of what my mama told me when I was a little kid. And there were bigger kids than me, and some of them were even bullies. And she said to me, Mark, when you grow up, you will find that your mind is more powerful and more valued and more important than a bigger kid who can hit harder. I thought about that with the guns, and I thought, you know, what is my profession? What do I do for a living? Well, I'm a radio host. I'm a state delegate. But before all of that, and indeed what informs me in all of that, I'm a lawyer. I went to Yale Law School. I have a creative mind. What can I do legally to stop Donald Trump? And then it all came flooding to me. Donald Trump, in his entire life, has used lawsuits to beat up on more vulnerable people. He has some 3,500 lawsuits filed against him or with him or involving him, mostly because he just doesn't pay people, like the time he ordered 100 grand pianos and then just decided I didn't want to pay for it, or the time when the guy built his hotel and he decided not to pay him. And he uses these lawsuits and the intimidation factor and his very high-priced lawyers. He uses them to negotiate. He doesn't want to pay 100 cents on the dollar. He doesn't want to pay his bills. So he says, fine, make you sue me. And because of all the costs of litigation, all the costs of lawyers, well, he can whittle down the price and only pay 60%. And while the rest of America pays a full dollar's price for a full dollar of services, Donald Trump cheats you. Everyone knows that. That's why American banks won't lend him any more money. That's why he has to go to Russian banks and be in the thrall of Vladimir Putin and all the other dictators that, I mean, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of dollars of debt he's in. He won't share that information with us. But Donald Trump is the king of debt, and he's the king of lawsuits. He doesn't use them in order to obtain justice. He uses them in order to beat down people who have less resources than he has. And then I remembered how many times Republicans have used lawsuits against us. Indeed, in the famous case of Paula Jones v. Clinton, the Republicans paid a woman who did not want to go public. She had made some vague allegations, and they basically paid her to file suit against Bill Clinton. And those lawsuits became bigger, and the Supreme Court actually ruled that she had a right to sue the President of the United States because the actions took place before the presidency. They weren't about what he did in his official capacity. And he had to answer those lawsuits while he was president. Interesting. Given that Donald Trump has 3,500 lawsuits pending, given that he, in fact, just settled a lawsuit for $25 million, basically admitting that he committed fraud at Trump University. Not admitting by signing the settlement document, of course, but admitting, because when you pay $25 million, that's a clear sign that you think you've done something wrong. But it goes deeper than that. It even goes to the case of a pizza restaurant right here in Washington, D.C. A pizza restaurant that was shot up because of some guy who believed a fake news account. And I thought about the millions of Americans that share fake news and whether a lawsuit could stop them. I'll explain more when I get back. 888-48-MARK, 888-486-2275. Back after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Welcome to all my listeners on Facebook. Just tune in at facebook.com/MarkLevineTalk. And if it clips, I know sometimes the audio clips a little bit here, just go to MarkLevineTalk.com and you'll get the audio. You won't get to see me, but you will be able to at least hear me. I've been thinking about the best way to fight Donald Trump. It's not easy to do. He's going to control the executive branch. It's not like we're going to have a Justice Department on our side. It's going to be run by an open racist, Jeff Sessions of Alabama, a guy who was okay with the KKK until they started apparently supporting legalization of marijuana, which he also opposes. A guy who calls black men boy and urges black people to be careful around white folk. A guy so racist that he's one of only two judges in 50 years to be rejected by the Senate for any reason. Well, he's going to be in charge of the Justice Department. We can't expect any justice from the Justice Department. The government will be our oppressor. I want you to think about that. The government will be out to oppress you and me. They're going to use all the power of the government to take away black people's right to vote, to persecute Muslims, to go after immigrants, whether legally here or not legally here. They're going to not be very sympathetic to women who are sexually assaulted. After all, our next president is a serial assaulter of women. So we're not getting any justice from the executive branch. We could look to the states, but the states are almost all controlled by Republicans right now. More than half the states are completely controlled by Republicans, governor and the legislature. And then when you take out the split governments and you look at governments controlled by progressives, well, there's only about six, California being the most notable. We don't have the legislature. Of course, the vast majority of the House is controlled by Republicans due to their wonderful gerrymandering schemes. And in the United States Senate, they have a majority as well. Yeah, we can do some filibustering, though the Republicans may well end the filibuster. Soon they will control the United States Supreme Court. That's a scary thought. And the people in the executive branch that Donald Trump is putting there are a bunch of kooks, really. Hangers-on, yes men. No one thought he was going to win, so the most extreme and incompetent types joined up for his campaign. So what can we do? Well, let's use our brains. And lawyers across America, unite. You have a unique skill. There are things you can do that no one else can do. And you can do it at no cost. Just go in, do it pro bono. I'm asking lawyers to do that. When we come back, I want to talk about the shooting up of the Comet Ping Pong Pizzeria, wonderful neighborhood pizza place in Washington, D.C. It was shot up just a couple days ago, we all know, because somebody believed a fake news story. A fake news story spread by millions of Americans. Well, thousands of Americans, let's say. Many of them knowing it was false. Well, that, my friends, is defamation. And maybe we just sued a few of those people spreading that fake story on Facebook, they would stop doing it. I'll give you more details when we come back.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. A few days ago, a young man from North Carolina, young white man who apparently had been reading a lot of the same stuff that, well, my trolls on my website and on my Facebook page have been reading. The fake news begun by all kinds of people, some teenagers in Macedonia, some people in California, some people just trying to make a quick buck because Facebook pays you for every click. Doesn't matter whether your story is true or false. They spread what I think the author of the story must have thought was the most ridiculous, unbelievable, crazy idea that he or she, probably he, could think of. Chose it, I think, just to see how idiotic and ignorant Trump supporters could be. Apparently, they try these fake news with liberals, and they just don't go that far. You don't get as many clicks. Liberals are more skeptical of obviously fake news. Now, some slips through, and when I see a liberal promoting fake news, I make sure to let them know, and most of the time, they apologize immediately and profusely, and I remove it, and it's done. That hasn't happened too often, but it has happened. But this guy wrote, what's the worst thing I could possibly accuse Hillary Clinton of? I know, child molestation. I get it. A child sex ring. Interestingly, even in prison, child sex rings, pederasts, pedophiles, are often seen as lower than even murderers. For some reason, there's just something in our culture that when you rape a child, it's considered even more disgusting than murder. And it is, of course, disgusting. So the accused, get this, Hillary Clinton, of being involved in a child sex ring. And in order to give it, I guess, some indicia of believability, they picked a random restaurant in Washington, D.C., and said she was running it out of their basement. Now, I don't know Hillary Clinton on the campaign trail. Was traveling, in the middle of the night to Washington, D.C., to this pizza place, and going down in their basement and molesting children. I'm not quite sure how it works, but logic, of course, doesn't really matter here. You could say that Hillary Clinton murdered 1,000 people while riding a unicorn, and a number of Trumps would be, wow, while riding a unicorn? Let's spread the word! Comet Ping Pong. It's a really cute idea for a pizza place. You can buy pizza and play ping pong while you wait. Pretty clever. Kind of a neighborhood institution. You know what Comet doesn't have? They got plenty of ping pong tables. You know what they don't have? They don't have a basement. Well, apparently this Pizzagate had been spread by tens of thousands of people, at least. spread by none other than a different child sex molestation allegation was spread by none other than the man Donald Trump wants to hire to be the lead national security advisor in the United States. A guy by the name of Michael Flynn. A guy fired by President Obama and the intelligence community for his incompetence. A guy who has admitted to giving away classified information illegally. Now, remember when Republicans used to care about the fact that Hillary Clinton sent emails that while they weren't marked classified and while they weren't sent to anybody who shouldn't receive them, could have retroactively been marked classified and might have been hacked, but there was no evidence that there was, and that was enough to deny her the presidency? And yet Donald Trump wants to put in charge of our national intelligence the guy who puts it all together and decides whether we go to war or not and whether he nukes people or not, a guy who not only broke the law and disclosed classified information. By the way, Jim Comey, are you investigating? You want to announce something? I mean, you felt it was so important to announce Anthony Weiner's emails as if his sexual pictures had anything to do with Hillary Clinton. Of course, they didn't. Why aren't you investigating Michael Flynn? Oh, right, I forget. Because you don't give a damn about your country, do you, Jim Comey? You don't give a damn about the law. You just wanted to trick Americans into voting for Donald Trump. Okay, you succeeded, Jim. I get it. I get it. But you're un-American, unpatriotic, and you should resign in disgrace. But I'm digressing a bit. Michael Flynn, in addition to disclosing confidential information, disclosing classified information against law, against regulations, also loves to spread fake news, including news. Well, it's not news. It's a lie. A pretty vicious, defamatory lie. A lie about Hillary Clinton and the sex ring. A similar lie caused a man who I thought was mentally unstable to drive from North Carolina and to barge in the place with his AK-47 and shoot locks and look for some child sex ring in a non-existent basement. We are indeed lucky that no one was killed. Mike Flynn's son, even after the Pizzagate incident, continued to spread the lie. But really, how can we condemn the guy that's going to lead our national intelligence effort? And by the way, let's recall that national intelligence got us into a war with Iraq. And that was just people like Dick Cheney who wanted Iraq's oil. That wasn't crazy lunatoons who were just making up stuff off the seat of their pants to try to win an election. But how can I blame Michael Flynn when Donald Trump himself makes up and tweets out crazy bull? I mean, Donald Trump said that 3 million illegals voted. There's no evidence of that. He just made it up because he wanted to say he won the popular vote because he doesn't like the fact that Americans solidly rejected him. Donald Trump said that Ted Cruz's dad, his father, had something to do with the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Donald Trump is the one who said that immigrants from Mexico are rapists and maybe a few are nice people, he assumes, but he's never met any. All the ones he knows are drug dealers and rapists. Donald Trump practices the art of the big lie all the time. Indeed, one of my followers on Facebook showed how in a 22-day period in March, Donald Trump did 22 easily provable lies. More recently, some sites like Politico have showed that when he tweets, he lies every couple hours. How do we fight this? There's a wonderful article, again, that I posted on my Facebook page that shows that this whole topsy-turvy idea of throwing in lies and truth and all in the same boat gets people confused until they don't know which way is up. They can't tell the difference between truth and lies. It's kind of like if you're scuba diving It's easy to scuba dive when you go down in and you see the light of the sun above you. And if you have a problem, you just head toward the light, right? You can then, if your tanks don't work, you can take a breath. But what if it's nighttime? What if there's a rock overhanging the light? What if you can't tell which way is up? And in that environment and the pressure, and you're deep down underwater, you don't know which way to go. What if you're in space and you don't know where Earth is? If you have no truth on which to base what you believe, you might believe anything. And indeed, there's a wonderful piece by Samantha Bee that you should all watch that shows a woman on CNN say, "I know that all those illegals voted. How do you know? I heard it on CNN." To which the CNN anchor said, "Who said that on CNN? I don't know. It was all over the media." Well, no, it wasn't. It was spread by fake news sites like Breitbart. The person who runs that fake news site, of course, will be the Secretary of Innuendo under Donald Trump, his main propagandist. Now, this is not unusual. Vladimir Putin does it every single day. Adolf Hitler did it. Dictators all across the world use fake news to try to prop up their agenda. It's just not common in the United States yet. Well, now it is. How can we fight it? I've had arguments online with people going on and on and on, and they won't believe 2 + 2 = 4. You can present the evidence right in front of their face, and they will believe the lies over the truth. What do you do about that? You sue them. I'm serious. There has always been an exception to the First Amendment to the Constitution. It's an exception that goes way back before the founding of the United States. It's called defamation lawsuits, libel laws, slander laws. I'm going to be visiting Comet Ping Pong over the next few days, and I'm going to suggest to their owner that they file a lawsuit not just against Michael Flynn, which might harm his being chosen as national security advisor, but I want him to sue as a class action the thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of Americans who shared that fake news. I want people on Facebook to be scared before they share a defamatory fake story. I want people to know that if you share information online that you don't know to be true, and in fact that you have reason to believe is false, you may lose a civil lawsuit. Think how many millions of dollars could be gotten in such a lawsuit. Think how many people might just be dissuaded. Oops, maybe I shouldn't share that. Maybe I should check to see if it's true first. You know, when Jill Stein said she wanted to raise money for the recount effort, she put up a website and millions were raised in a few days. I bet we could raise some money for legal fees. I bet we could raise some money for people who believe that truth still has meaning. Defamation is against the law. It has been against the law for 240 years. And I know some of you are going to tell me, if you are lawyers, there's a complicated New York Times v. Sullivan's the name of the case standard. If you sue a public figure like Hillary Clinton, it's really hard to win a libel lawsuit. You have to prove that you knew it was untrue and that you maliciously shared it, that you had no belief it was true. It's really hard. It's not opinion, it's fact. You can have an opinion that Hillary or Donald Trump is good or bad or whatever. It's when you say someone is running a sex ring. Well, that's either true or it's false. It's not a question of Hillary Clinton's good or bad. That's an opinion. Facts or lies. I actually think Hillary Clinton could sue, but the better lawsuit is by the Comet Ping Pong place. They're not public figures. I don't know if Ted Cruz's dad is alive. If he is, he'd be a great one to sue Donald Trump personally. And remember, if you sue the president personally for acts done prior to being president, Supreme Court says he's got to defend that lawsuit. How about Alicia Machado? Did Donald Trump lie about her? Did he defame her? Could she bring a lawsuit? I mean, this guy has 3,500 lawsuits against him. What's a few thousand more? But I actually like the lawsuits against ordinary people even better. If you share defamatory material, and this happens all the time to me. It happens on Facebook. It happens in email. People send me stuff. I hear Hillary Clinton's a murderer. You know what? You have just libeled her. You have spread information that you know you have reason to know is false. But okay, she's a public figure. Attack me, I'm a public figure. When you attack a private figure, it's even easier to win a defamation case. Could this finally stop fake news? If you are afraid that when you lie about someone maliciously that you could be sued and maybe, I don't know, lose a few thousand dollars or more than that, if the purveyors of this fake news actually found that they lost their homes, might it stop? Will Republicans argue that you should not be able to sue someone for intentionally lying about someone? Will they defend defamation? Will they defend libel? Will they defend lies? Well, they kind of already are. Reince Priebus was asked about Donald Trump's lie that millions of Americans, illegal immigrants, tried to vote. And he said, well, you know, he thinks that's just fine. The host asked, do you think it's true? He said, I think Donald Trump's done a good job. Paul Ryan was asked what he thought about Donald Trump's lie that could undermine democracy. And Paul Ryan said, you know, I don't follow that much. I don't care that much. Paul Ryan doesn't really care about American democracy that much. He doesn't really give a damn about whether the President of the United States is claiming that millions of Americans committed voter fraud when there's zero evidence of that. He doesn't mind if the President of the United States makes up vicious lies every day that cause a madman to go in and shoot up a pizza shop. Paul Ryan doesn't mind. He sold his soul. Let every Republican be asked every day if they mind if the President of the United States is a serial liar whose lies can lead to acts of violence. Do they mind? When I come back, I want to talk about a lawsuit filed against me just this year. A lawsuit filed against me and several other legislators and some protesters in Arlington who had the audacity to say that we didn't want a gun shop in our neighborhood. I want to tell you what happened with that lawsuit and the lessons we can learn to fight Donald Trump in the future. Be right back after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Scoop, I am your host, Mark Levin, talking about the single best way that I believe we can defeat Donald Trump. And really, all we're doing is copying Republican tactics. That's the irony. It sounds creative, but I haven't thought much new. This is exactly how Republicans did their best to take down Bill Clinton, through lawsuits. And some of them will be very serious topics. There'll be things like when Donald Trump orders people to be tortured, we could have a soldier sue to say, hey, I, under the Constitution, under the Eighth Amendment, I don't think I can be ordered to be tortured. So when a soldier wants to defy orders based on the Constitution, file a lawsuit. Some of it may be the many, many, many women Donald Trump has sexually assaulted. Those women, it's not just that he sexually assaulted them, though they could sue for that, and they should sue for that. Sometimes it's been outside of statute of limitations. But recently, he defamed them. He denied the allegation, and in did so, attacked their character. So even if the sexual assault occurred 20 years ago by Donald Trump lying and defaming them, they should sue now for defamation. Remember, if someone lies about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, it's very hard to bring a lawsuit for defamation. They're public figures. But these women were not public figures, and Donald Trump attacked them. That would be a good lawsuit. But I want to close by telling you about a lawsuit that was filed against me just this year. So a gun store decided to open up in Arlington, Virginia. Frankly, I believe they did it because the laws are much stricter just across the river from D.C. up through New York. New York actually has more guns from Virginia than any other outside state. And that's because they can buy arms really easily. In Virginia, you don't, if you buy outside a gun store, you don't need a background check. You can be mentally ill. You can be a multi-felon. You can be a massive terrorist. And right there on the terrorist watch list, and you go, you put down the internet, I want to buy a gun, no questions asked. And then people can sell you guns, no questions asked. They can go into that gun store in Arlington and just go outside in the parking lot and sell you whatever they want. Gun laws are lax in Virginia. And the gun store wanted to put it in Arlington, in this residential area. And the people of Arlington are good liberal people. They didn't want it there. So I and six other legislators that represent Arlington wrote a letter. Wrote a letter to the landlord saying, you know, these are not Arlington values. You have a legal right to put the gun store there, but we kindly ask you not to do it. What happened after that? We also, there was a protest about two blocks away from the gun store. 60, 70 good citizens of Arlington came to this park and protested the gun store. The gun store then turned around and sued not just the seven of us legislators, but the 60 people who did nothing other than attend a protest two blocks away.
What?
And the reason they did it is because they wanted to squelch their free speech. Those Americans had absolutely every right to protest the store, but they're like, oh my God, if we're getting sued, oh, maybe we won't protest the gun store so much. We will not exercise our First Amendment rights. We're afraid to. Now, the lawsuit was frivolous and, not surprisingly, was dismissed the day before the hearing was to be heard on it. We would have won in flying colors, and they knew that. But if a lawsuit, of a frivolous lawsuit, could stop free speech, free truthful speech, think about how a true lawsuit could stop lies. Lawyers of America, unite. We can yet save this country. This is Mark Levine. Follow me on Facebook.